ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओ कृष्ण, टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्न्ड इन द वूम। टेक्स्ट नंबर 46। निरूप्यताम इय स्वार्थः कियान् देहावृतो सुराः निषेकादिष्व अवस्थासु क्लिश्यमानस्य कर्मभिः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीला प्रभुपाद। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर फ्रेंड्स, ओ सन्स ऑफ द असुरास, the living entity receives different types of bodies according to his previous fruitive activities. Thus he is seen to suffer with reference to his particular body in all conditions of life, beginning with this infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruitive activities which result in hardship and misery? Purport. कर्मणादेव नेत्रेण जंतुर देहोपपत्यते। लिविंग एंटिटी रिसीव्स अ पर्टिकुलर टाइप ऑफ बॉडी अकॉर्डिंग टू हिज कर्म और फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज। द मटीरियल प्लेजर डिराइव्ड इन द मटीरियल वर्ल्ड फ्रॉम वन्स पर्टिकुलर बॉडी इज बेस्ड ऑन सेक्सुअल प्लेजर। यन मैथुनादि ग्रह मेदि सुखम इतुच्छम। द एंटायर वर्ल्ड इज वर्किंग सो हार्ड ओनली फॉर सेक्सुअल प्लेजर। To enjoy sexual pleasure and maintain the status quo of material life, one must work very hard. And because of such activities, one prepares himself another material body. Prahlad Maharaj places this matter to his friends, the Asuras, for their consideration. Asuras generally cannot understand that the objects of sexual pleasure, the so-called pleasure of materialistic life, depend on extremely hard labor. Hare Krishna. So this very powerful purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the futility of materialistic life based on sense gratification and in particular sex life. And this whole chapter is a result of what the classmates of Prahlad, they are surprised that Prahlad Maharaj is speaking such wonderful wisdom. They ask him, where did you learn all this? And he is revealing how he learnt all this in the womb by hearing from his spiritual master. And he learnt everything and he got realization by hearing and contemplation. Whereas we see that in this material world, we go through suffering, we hear, we see it and we experience suffering, still we are not able to realize. Pashyan api na pashyati. So it's a very big tragedy. And Prahlad Maharaj is revealing in these few verses, last few days and today's verse in particular, that there is no happiness in this world. It's crazy place where people are only interested in sex life. Ultimately, it all boils down to that. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a contradiction in one sense. The whole world is mad after this pleasure. And here Hare Krishna devotees are saying on the basis of scriptures and sadhus that this is not very intelligent thing to do. That is to pursue fruitive activities for sex pleasure. So, how do we understand this? Actually, the scriptures also admit that there is some kind of pleasure in sex life. Otherwise, the whole world will not be mad after it. But it is tucham. It is insignificant compared to the desires in the heart of the living entity for happiness. And that fulfilling these desires only agitates us more. It gives temporary relief but not satisfaction. There is a difference between relief and satisfaction. Somebody is having chest pain and to relieve himself of the pain, he has an option to take proper medication or take some instant painkiller which gives him relief. So foolish person will opt for a painkiller which gives him relief. immediately and neglects the medicine. So if you take only painkillers, after some time the painkillers won't be effective. There is no substitute for real medication. Similarly, engaging in sense gratification may give instant relief, but repeated such engagement only makes us desensitized and it no longer gives us relief after some time. Just like if one takes a painkiller to get relief, then after some time he'll have to take 2 painkillers for the same pain. Then eventually he'll have to take 10-15 painkillers and still the pain won't go. Similarly, people will engage in lot of sense gratification, but still they will not experience happiness, because sense gratification is not the solution for suffering in this world. It only gives some relief. If sex life, as the modern champions of free life advocate, if that indeed causes happiness, then the prostitutes who live in red light areas, they should be the happiest people. They should be dancing in ecstasy because they have sex every night and with new people. But all sociological studies, all reports, they establish how these prostitutes are the worst affected people. They are the most distressed. But there is a lot of suffering involved in this kind of a lifestyle. And the scriptures say, although it gives relief, but eventually it burns the heart like anything. Prahlad Maharaj gives the example of an itch. When there is an itch, it's tempting to scratch. If we tolerate it, we'll actually be peaceful eventually. But if we scratch it, it gives instant relief. But that scratching only causes more pain, and eventually there is bleeding and there is, it's agonizing, it's painful. So not only it gives only temporary relief, but eventually in the long run it causes a lot of misery. And thirdly, one has to pay a heavy price for it. One has to, as Prabhupada writes in today's purport, one has to work very, very hard for just a little bit of pleasure. Shukdev Goswami calls this as the hard work. He compares such an hard working person to asses, cows, pigs, different animals, camel. Shvavid vara hushtra kare samstuta purusha pashu nayat karana patopeto jatunama gadagraja. He is a dog, he is a pig, he is a camel, donkey, like that. He compares him with different animals. How one has to work so hard just to get a little bit of sense gratification. Krishnanand Prabhu gives the example of a rasgulla. He says, rasgulla is very sweet, but if somebody is selling a rasgulla for 1 lakh rupees, will you buy it? So it is not that the rasgulla is not sweet. If somebody is offering a rasgulla for 1 lakh rupees, we'll immediately say it's not worth it. So similarly, he was saying that happiness derived from such indiscriminate sex life, it's not worth it, because we have to pay a heavy price in terms of karmic reactions, in terms of even otherwise, one has to work very hard. Nothing comes free in this world. So it's very, very painful. So therefore, the scriptures say it's not worth it. But we do not see this truth because we are blinded by this desire which is overwhelming in our heart and is causing us so much pain. And the scriptures are filled with examples of personalities who suffered because of not controlling this urge and giving in to these lusty desires. Of course, when we speak these pastimes or these examples, there can be a tendency to have a holier-than-thou attitude, as if we are free from this problem. We cannot absolve ourselves of serious introspection and responsibility. But at the same time, there are examples which portray that people have suffered immensely because of this urge. And as sadhakas, we feel that we also have the same problem. How can we condemn the materialistic people? So as sadhakas, we are also struggling. Is there a solution for this? Yes, there are many solutions. We can consider solutions as A, B, C, D, Prabhupada gave. Strong association of devotees is the best solution to combat this powerful energy. Second is Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam contains so many stories and instructions. If we hear them and contemplate on them, we'll get realizations and the determination to say no. and she is chanting. 99% of our spiritual life is based on chanting of the holy names. And D for diet, what you eat. If we eat outside food not offered to Krishna, that will agitate us more and increase our sexual desires. And also deity worship is very good service that can also purify us of these desires. So there are many solutions given. Today, we'll just consider one of them, which is, I thought, very helpful to all of us. And I personally benefited from this a lot. And that is the A part, that is association. Association of devotees can help us face this deadly enemy of lust and maintain our sanity even in this crazy world. And when we talk about association, we are not talking about some mechanical association of just, you know, I see this devotee, Haribol. No. When we talk of association, we are actually referring to giving our heart to devotees and actually having an intimate relationship. So that helps us survive the onslaughts of this desire which attacks a sadhaka. And because of this loving relationship, we get the strength to say no. One devotee was telling me that when he was a young boy, his parents had bought him, had reared him with lot of love and affection from a nice Marwadi family, with a nice culture, nice love and affection he got. And as he became a teenager, he was once put in a situation where he was about to engage in illicit sex. And the situations had been arranged in such a way that nobody would have known. He could have easily enjoyed sense gratification. But as he was alone with this lady, immediately the thought that came to his mind was, what will my parents feel? How can I break their hearts? They have given me so much love, affection. What will my mother think of me? I'll be fallen in their eyes. So that made him so guilty that he ran away from that place. And he survived. So his realization was that now we are living in a family of devotees. So if we also give our heart to devotees and have loving affection and loving relationship with them, and when we are attacked by this enemy of lust, we can always feel that, oh, the fear of breaking the hearts of devotees will give us the strength to say no. And also, on the positive side, the desire to please Vaishnavas will give us the strength to tolerate this enemy. Now, this is one side of the story, but what about those situations when a devotee actually falls down and he does become a victim of illicit sex, although he knows that this is bad? The modes overwhelm him. What happens in such a situation? Is such a devotee eternally condemned because he's fallen down, or does he have hope? We can see from Chaitanya Charitamrita, very instructive pastime, which explains this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his South India tour. He went to Kanyakumari. Then before going to Adikeshav temple, he discovered Lord Ram's deity. And then he visited Mallaradesh, which is in Karnataka. And in that place, there was a group of nomadic people, gypsies, called as Bhattaharis. And these Bhattaharis were having a lot of men and women who would entice people, rob them, and increase the members in their group by promising wealth and sex. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling with this servant, Kala Krishna Das. And Kala Krishna Das began to get attracted to these Bhattaharis. He was the servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was struggling. And soon, the Bhattaharis pulled him. Kaviraj Goswami explains, sometimes we think that, oh, there is no danger for me. I may not fall down ever because I am in the association of good devotees. Or I am from a nice cultured family. I am very Brahminical. If we consider what was Kala Krishna Das's qualification, Kaviraj Goswami says, it's scary. Stridana dekhana tanra loba janmela arya sarala viprera buddhina shakoila. Stri and dhana, they tempted him with women and wealth. స్త్రీధన దేకానా తండ్ర లోభా జన్మేలా. హీ బికెమ్ వెరీ ఎంటైస్డ్ అండ్ గ్రీడీ టు పొజెస్ దిస్ అండ్ హీ ర్యాన్. అండ్ వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్, కాళకృష్ణదాస్ వాజ్ నాట్ అన్ ఆర్డినరీ పర్సన్, ఆర్య. హీ వాజ్ అ సివిలైజ్డ్ కల్చర్డ్ జెంటిల్మెన్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ హీ వాజ్ అ సెక్స్ మాంగర్. హీ వాజ్ అన్ అసోసియేట్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు. హీ వాజ్ సివిలైజ్డ్ అండ్ సరళ. హీ వాజ్ సింపుల్. హీ వాజ్ సింపుల్ హార్టెడ్ అండ్ విప్రేర. హీ వాజ్ బ్రాహ్మణికల్. హీ వాజ్ క్లీన్. స్టిల్ బుద్ధి నాశ కోయిల. స్టిల్ ఇస్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ గాట్ కంటామినేటెడ్. సో హౌ కెన్ వీ బీ కాంప్లెసెంట్ ఇన్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్? అండ్ వీ గో అవుట్ ఎవ్రీవేర్. ఇట్స్ క్రేజీ. ద పోస్టర్స్ ఆర్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ agitating things, to agitate people. Anything you do outside, you step out into the material world, from all sides you are bombarded. However simple you are, however cultured, however brahminical, any time we can fall down. You buy a bottle of mineral water, you have some lady, you know, in a very sensuous pose, promising you sense gratification, 300% more oxygen she is promising you. That has no connection, you know. Women are used as objects to titillate the senses of the masses. They are exploited and nobody realizes this. It's so funny. You call somebody on the cell phone and that person has switched off the cell phone. Who answers? You know? And that lady will not say, the phone is off, call up later. She'll say it in such a sensuous voice as if she's going to have sex with you. It's crazy, you know. Everywhere, all around, this propaganda. Recently, one company launched a new car. So, on the inauguration of that, all the media people were there and all big industrialists in their coat, ties. And now the car is going to be launched. Music. And the curtain opens. And the car, new model of the car, and then the car is moving on all sides so that everybody can see. But the car, on the front side and the back side of the car, on top of the car, is a bikini clad girl, two girls sitting in a very sensuous pose. So people are looking at the car, looking at the girls. Looking at the car and the girls. So they try to get one and one together. They think, if I get the car, maybe I'll also get this. Because these women are associated with sense gratification. So a person who sees these women on the car, he thinks, he connects the two. Everywhere, anything you go. This is like extremely rampant. His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj was saying that till some years ago, one could survive the onslaught of Maya simply if he was a cultured person, if he was from a nice family. There are many people in India who will never break regulative principles, although they will never become devotees also, because the culture is very strong. But he says, Devamrita Maharaj says, but those days are gone. Maya has made such inroads into our society, she has penetrated our consciousness to such an extent that now your cultural upbringing will not save you anymore. You have no choice but to become a devotee and have association of devotees. That's how tragic it is. So it's a very, very tragic condition. And Kalakrishna Das, although he was sarala, he was brahminical, he was simple hearted, he was from very cultured and associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell victim. And he one day early in the morning, he quietly left Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and sneaked into their camp. And Srila Prabhupada writes three very powerful points in that purport. First point Prabhupada writes is, Maya is so strong that even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate fell victim. What to speak of us? So, and second point Prabhupada writes is, all this happens because of little independence. We all have little independence, and when that desire, we exercise that desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, Maya catches us. That is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Bhoga Vanchakare, how does that verse begin? Krishna Bhuliya Jeev, Bhoga Vanchakare, Nikatastha Maya Dare, Chapatiya Dare. Just little desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Krishna Bhuliya Jeev, want to enjoy, Maya comes and Jhapati, she slaps us left, right, center. So that's, and the third point Prabhupada writes is about one has to be conscientious, very, very careful. One has to be very careful in this material world. Otherwise, any time we can become victims to this lust. Srila Prabhupada also said another place that if somebody is not, if you are not chanting our 16 rounds attentively every day, any time we can fall victim to Maya. So it's a very, very powerful energy of the material nature, and this can overwhelm us at any moment. I was hearing one class of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj recently, and he was saying that Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds every day, and still Maya Devi tested him twice. And we are chanting just 16 rounds, and we are thinking, no, I will not be tested by Maya. So if Maya can test Haridas Thakur, how can we say that I am comfortable in spiritual life? So he left, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke up in the morning and he saw that Kala Krishna Das is not there. And Mahaprabhu realized, with the Supreme Lord, he realized that the Bhattaharis have taken his servant away. So he goes to the Bhattahari camp and tells them, I am a sannyasi. Why are you causing me pain? Why have you taken away my servant? Return him back to me. And the Bhattaharis, they get angry. And they take out all different kinds of weapons and they attack Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But these weapons, they turn back and they attack the Bhattaharis themselves. And there is a big commotion in the camp. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes ahead and picks up Kala Krishna Das. Bhattahari ghare maha uthila krandan keshi dhare viprela na kurila gaman. So there is a big commotion, krandan, in the Bhattahari camp. And Mahaprabhu goes, keshi dhare, he catches hold of his shika and pulls him back and leaves the place and gets him back. And then they continue their travels. So this is very, very instructive that Lord actually helps a sincere devotee. Lord comes and he picks up the devotee by shika. This is also glory of the Lord. Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord is more glorious than the devotee also. Sei bhakta danya jena chade prabhur charan, sei prabhu danya jena chade nija jan. That devotee is glorious who never leaves the Lord. Sei bhakta danya jena chade prabhur charan. He never leaves the Lord's lotus feet. But that Lord is even more glorious. Sei prabhu danya jena chade nija jan, because he will never leave his devotee. Durdeva vasha bhakta jadi jaye anya sthane, sei prabhu danya tare chule dari yane. Unfortunately, Durdeva vasha, the devotee goes somewhere else and he gets lost. But if he is sincere, sei prabhu danya, the Lord is so glorious that chule dari yane, he will catch hold of the devotee by the shika and pull him back and save him. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saves Kala Krishna Das, but after all their travels, when they come back to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turns to Sarabhauma Bhattacharya and says, Sarabhauma, here is your man, Kala Krishna Das. He left me and went to the Bhattaharis, but I pulled him back and I saved him. Now, I want to have nothing to do with him. He is yours, do what you like with him. And I don't want to see his face. Mahaprabhu very angrily walks off to perform his noon duties. And Kala Krishna Das is devastated. He feels he has lost the mercy of the Lord. The Lord has rejected him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us a very important lesson through this pastime. As the Supreme Lord is setting an example that how if we fall down or if some unfortunate things happen in our life, what we have to do is, we have to take shelter of association of devotees. So Kala Krishna Das had no choice. Lord rejected him. So he took shelter of Lord's intimate devotees. And they all came together to chalk out a plan to help Kala Krishna Das. Nityananda, Jagadananda, Mukunda, Damodar, Chari Jane, Yuktitabe, Kurila, Antar. Lord Nityananda, Jagadanand Pandit, Mukunda and Damodar Pandit, Chari Jane Yukti Tabe. So they four of them came together, and what did they do? Kurila Antar. They had discussion. They sat down and they discussed and they made a big plan. They had a big meeting. how to help Kala Krishna Das. He is devastated, he is feeling guilty, he has a repentant heart. Actually, this is purifying. When we sincerely repent for our mistakes, Krishna helps. There are sincere repentance and a feeling of remorse by Kala Krishna Das, and he took shelter of devotees, vowing never to repeat this mistake again. And devotees, these are the four topmost devotees, four topmost devotees in Jagannath Puri, who are the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were sincerely working to help. Actually, this is very important what Kala Krishna Das is doing and teaching all of us, that we should also take shelter of advanced devotees and they'll help us. The very fact that we are following the regulative principles in Kali Yuga, I'm assuming most of us are from Mumbai, being Mumbai products, you know, Kali Yuga, born and brought up in this Kali Yuga atmosphere, the very fact that we are practicing Krishna consciousness is a miracle. It's mercy of the Lord. It's Gaur Nitya's causeless mercy. And it's only because of this association that we have. So we cannot forget this mercy. So we have to constantly depend on the mercy of the Lord, the six Goswamis, the Vaishnavas. Without their mercy, all our sadhana is simply, it's like screaming and howling in the desert. Nobody is going to hear us. There is no substance in our devotional service if there is no mercy of superior Vaishnavas, of other devotees and the Lord. So these four devotees, they came together and they made a very nice plan to help Kala Krishna Das. What is the meaning of helping? Helping basically means engaging the devotee again in devotional service, giving him some concrete service. So the compassion of devotees is that they give service. And they realized, four of them, that now we need a devotee to go to Bengal and give the news of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return from South India to all the devotees in Bengal. Because in Navadvip, there are many devotees and associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are in extreme anxiety and they are worried and they are thinking, when will Lord Chaitanya return? They all know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left for South India. So they are anxious to get news. So when we send someone and they get the news, they will be very happy. And who will be a better person to send than Kala Krishna Das? He is not serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He doesn't have any service. This is the best service he can do. So from a hopeless situation, now he is on the verge of getting the best possible service. Most intimate service of meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most intimate associates in Navadvip. What a striking contrast. So these devotees, they go to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ask him, is it okay if we send him? So they requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. He just smiled and said, do as you please. In other words, he encouraged and was happy to note that Kala Krishna Das has taken shelter of devotees. Srila Prabhupada would also encourage, sometimes some of his disciples would fall away. He would not reject them. He would tell them, okay, come back and engage in devotional service. You have to fight with Maya. In fact, on one occasion, one of his disciples who fell away and then returned back, Prabhupada was so pleased with his sincerity that he appointed him as a GBC again. Just because he was sincerely struggling and fighting against Maya. So Kala Krishna Das was now sent to Bengal. And he packed a lot of Jagannath Mahaprasad. And he planned, I have to give to all the devotees in Bengal. And then he comes to Navadvip and first person he visits is Mother Sachi. She is in so much anxiety about her son. And she hears that, and Kala Krishna Das sits and tells her the whole pastime, what all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels, how he made everybody Krishna conscious, how he spread the chanting of Hare Krishna. And Mother Sachi becomes ecstatic. So Kala Krishna Das brings great joy to the heart of Sachi Mata. Then after that he goes to Shiva Thakur's house. And Shiva Thakur starts dancing and jumping, hearing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival. Then he goes to Advaita Acharya's house. Shuni Acharya Gosaira, Ananda Hoila, Prema Vashe Hunkara Bahu, Nritya Gita Koila. When Advaita Acharya hears, Ananda Hoila, he becomes so happy. And Prema Vashe Hunkara Bahu, he starts roaring in great joy. and you start shouting Hari Bol, and he becomes ecstatic. I start jumping, dancing. So Kala Krishna Das is ecstatic to see that so many devotees are being so. He is bringing so much joy to devotees as an instrument. Mother Sachi, Srivas Thakur. Look at the devotees in Navadvip at that time. Sachi Mata, Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya. Then he goes to Haridas Thakur, who was also staying in Navadvip at that time. So you can imagine how much of Haridas Thakur must have felt. Then he goes to Vasudev Dutt. And then he goes to Murari Gupta, Shivananda Sen, Acharya Nidhi, Vakreshwar Pandit, Acharya Ratna, Gadadhar Pandit, Shri Ram Pandit, Sriman Pandit, Vijay, Sridhar, Raghav Pandit. All these devotees reach, he goes to them. Nandan Acharya, whose house is very close by. Kala Krishna Das says, Krishna Das Kairaj Goswami says that Kala Krishna Das went to so many devotees' houses and spread this. He was the harbinger of good news, ecstatic news. Raghav Pandita ar Acharya Nandan Kate ka koi bar yata praburgan. Oh, he went to Nandan Acharya, Raghav Pandit, Kateka Koibar. How many more names shall I tell? He went to so many houses, so many Vaishnavas, he went and told them about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I can't even describe. And the result of all this was, the devotees were ecstatic. They became so happy. And there was a Maha gathering at Advaita Acharya's house. Everybody came there. And they had a 3-day festival, like Pune Yatra, 3 days. 3 days only hearing chanting and feasting. Non-stop Kirtan, and Advaita Acharya and all the devotees were chanting and dancing in great joy. And at the conclusion of this festival, Advaita Acharya, he declared loudly in great joy. He said, now all of us, we will go to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this announcement was received by a roar of approval and applause, and devotees were greatly ecstatic. They said, yes, we'll all now go to Jagannath Puri. So we can see from this pastime the power of the shelter of Vaishnavas. So somebody was rejected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is now getting service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mother directly. He is pleasing Advaita Acharya, Sachi Mata and so many Vaishnavas. So devotees are very merciful. We should take shelter of devotees. This is the lesson we can learn from this pastime. There was one boy who was coming to 26 Second Avenue to hear Srila Prabhupada's class, and he had a lot of problems with controlling his senses and with illicit sex. So one day he told devotees, I want to meet Prabhupada and discuss with him my problems. They said, oh, go up and talk to him. So he went and he said, Prabhupada, I'm struggling. I want to be a disciple, but I'm struggling. Prabhupada said, no problem, you just have to follow 4 regulative principles. Any problem with that? He says, no, I have just problem with one principle I cannot follow. Prabhupada said, which principle you cannot follow? And he said, meat eating. It was a lie. And Prabhupada also knew it, and he also knew it. But he said, no meat eating. Prabhupada said, oh, I'll give you prasad every day. Come. Come and join the temple. So he couldn't say anything. So he joined the temple. And he was living in the temple. Prabhupada would give him prasad. But the desires were so strong, in the night, from the window, he would sneak down. He would go down. And he would go and meet his girlfriend in the night and come back early morning. Prabhupada came to know that actually his problem was this. Prabhupada called him to the window one day and showed him to all the people walking in the New York street. And he said, you want to enjoy sense gratification? See, look, he showed him outside the window. So many people are walking. He said, see, there are so many women there. Pick up any one of them and enjoy. Is that what you want to do in life? You'll get Krishna. If you want Krishna, you chant and you stay here. And then Prabhupada preached to him. And then because Prabhupada saw that he is not able to control his senses, Prabhupada did something very special with him. Prabhupada decided to make him his personal servant. Prabhupada said, you become a servant. And then he was living in Prabhupada's room and serving Prabhupada personally. And that's how he was able to cope with this anartha. So like that, devotees are very merciful. And when we take shelter of such a sangha, we experience great strength. And many times when we feel great strength in our spiritual life, we think it is because of my devotional service. It's actually because we are held by the support system of so many Vaishnavas. And only when we are away from that association, we realize actually, I am weak. Therefore, this shelter and association of Vaishnavas is not some extracurricular activity that we do sometime. It's a necessity. Like one devotee was saying that association and shelter of Vaishnavas is like breathing. Breathing is not an extracurricular activity. Breathing is a necessity. He says, this is the most important activity that we have to do. But our unfortunate plight is, I can speak for myself, that living in a society of devotees, sometimes we take the association so cheaply and for granted that we'll end up disliking other Vaishnavas for such flimsy reasons. Just because we don't like the way somebody pays dandavats, or somebody, the way somebody puts on tilak, or the way somebody chews prasad. It's such a silly, sometimes very silly reasons haunt our consciousness. And we are not happy even in the association of wonderful Vaishnavas. So therefore, it's actually false ego. If we don't realize that I am helplessly dependent on the association of devotees, that's simply false ego. Actually, we are dependent and we have to take shelter of this Sangha. Lord Kapila Dev says to his mother, Prasangam Ajaram Pasham Kavayo Atmano Vidu Sa Eva Sadusho Kruto Moksha Dwaram Apavritam. Ajaram Pasham, the Prasangam, the attachment to materialistic people is like, it's like a noose that ties our neck and chokes us. Association of materialistic people will destroy our fragile faith in Krishna. And Kavayo Atmano Vidu, great souls, self-realized souls have declared this. But that same attachment, Prasangam Ajaram Pasham Kavayo Atmano Vidu, but Sa Eva, but the same attachment when it is transferred to devotees, Sa Eva Sadusho Kruto Moksha Dwaram Apavritam, that will open the doors for liberation. Therefore, attachment to devotees is healthy. That will help us overcome our attachment to sense gratification. Because this is one of the biggest obstacles. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Harinam Chintamani that one of the four, there are four kinds of anarthas in our heart, and one of them is Hridaya Daurbalyam, weakness, inability to say no to sense gratification, and lack of determination, that is Hridaya Daurbalyam, and that arises because of attachment to sense objects. And another anartha he says is Asat Trishna, hankering for temporary things of this world. So the best solution for all this is association of advanced Vaishnavas. And in Nectar of Instruction also, Srila Prabhupada comments that how Kanishta Bhakta is he who simply loves deities and he just does his sadhana. But Madhyama Bhakta is he who loves the Lord in the temple, serves the deities and also has very good friendship with devotees. And Srila Prabhupada said that devotees in ISKCON should at least come to the Madhyama platform. We have to come to the Madhyama platform. We have to have healthy relationship with Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged devotees to come together like this. When Srila Prabhupada was in Geneva for a few days in 1974 and he was leaving the temple. And as he was leaving, he called the temple president Guru Gauranga Prabhu and told him, I realized in my last 3 days of stay here that I did not see Leelavati. She is staying in this temple. Where was she? Why didn't she come to see me? So the temple president said, Prabhupada, she is very sick. She is having very high fever and she is admitted in the hospital. Prabhupada said, oh, how is she now? Is she critical? No, Prabhupada, she is all right. She is recovering. She is just recuperating now. She has to just spend a few more days in the hospital. Then Prabhupada said, oh, she is all right. Our devotees going and seeing her? So he said, Prabhupada, they are all busy in our services. And one devotee goes and gives her prasadam and sometimes some devotees go. Prabhupada said, no, all of you should go. Prabhupada, but so many services are going on. Prabhupada said, stop all the services. I am leaving now. Prabhupada had to catch the flight and Prabhupada left. And then Prabhupada told the temple devotees that they should all go to the hospital. Then all the devotees, they went to the hospital and she was shocked. The whole temple had come and she was filled with great joy and gratitude when she came to know that it was Srila Prabhupada who had ordered all the devotees to go and visit her. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized on this principle a lot. And because then we can also see practically when we have strong association, three things we will certainly get. One is, when we have good association, we get knowledge. Of course, I am talking all this, but I have myself been very guilty of kind of impersonalism, not associating nicely with devotees. So this is self-instructive. So one thing we can practically get is we can get knowledge about the dangers of sense gratification and the knowledge of Krishna consciousness when we have good association. Like when we have Bhagavatam classes, we can hear so much about Krishna. So in association, we get knowledge. Secondly, we also get faith. Because we see devotees practicing strongly, we also get faith. And thirdly, we also get practical guidance for many of our problems. So this is so beneficial to have good association and practice Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, during his last days, when he was just about to leave this world and he was in Vrindavan, in his room, many of his god brothers would come and visit him and they would leave. And after they left, Ayodhyapati Prabhu, who is now known in ISKCON as Isolonish Srila Bhaktivrinda Govinda Swami Maharaj, he was that time head cook in Vrindavan temple. So his service was in the evening time to be Prabhupada's gatekeeper, guard outside the door. So one day he was standing outside the door and there were no visitors. Prabhupada was alone in his room and he heard some singing sound from inside the room, and he opened the door and he saw that Srila Prabhupada is on the bed and is intensely chanting Tadera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janameja Name Hoye Abhilas. He is chanting Narottam Das Thakur's famous song where he is saying that I want to live only with devotees and I want to serve the lotus feet of all these devotees. And Narottam Das Thakur is saying, I want to serve the lotus feet of devotees, not that in this lifetime I serve and then I get Krishna and I go back to the spiritual world. He is saying Tadera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hoye Abhilas. Life after life I simply want to be the servant of devotees. So Prabhupada was chanting this prayer in great devotion, and Ayodhyapati Prabhu Govind Maharaj, he was completely overwhelmed to see this mood of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada has taught us by his own example the need to take shelter of Vaishnavas, because this is the only way we can survive the onslaught of this ravaging, deadly force of lust. Because we cannot conquer this enemy on our own strength. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told Subhag Maharaj, Subhag Maharaj asked Prabhupada once, Prabhupada, can we overcome this sex desire? And Prabhupada immediately said, no. He was disheartened. But he wanted Prabhupada to give an encouraging answer. So a few days later, he went to Prabhupada again and said, Prabhupada, can we overcome this sex desire? Is it possible? Prabhupada said, sorry, no. He was again disheartened. And a few days later, again, third time he asked Prabhupada, and this time Prabhupada told him, no, it's not possible. But it's possible if Govinda Icha, and Prabhupada walked away. If Krishna desires, it's possible. So on our part, we can show our sincerity to Krishna that I don't want to be a victim of this enemy by associating with devotees. And then Krishna, if he is pleased, out of his causeless mercy, he will help us climb back the mountain. We are all climbing a mountain. Krishna is on the top. And as we are climbing, we are slipping away. In our Avabilam Yatra, we were experiencing this. Climbing the mountain, sometimes slipping. Then again, because association was there, we all climbed up. And all the devotees, without an exception, their realization after the yatra was, we all could climb the peak of that mountain only because we had association. Alone, I would have never gone. It was impossible for me. Most of the devotees accepted this. So it's very easy in the association. Even sometimes you might slip, sometimes fall, but holding on to other devotees, we can all one day go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes. Yes, Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your very nice handling of this very, very sensitive subject. On the subject of association of devotees, the fear that is always there in our heart is that as we spend more years in Krishna consciousness, there's always this tendency to take devotees for granted. More particularly, as you explained in the class, that we see some small defects, may not be defects, but they are just the way or mannerisms of a particular devotee, and then we start becoming critical. And as we spend more years in Krishna consciousness, the tendency becomes even more, or it's expected to become even more. So how does one guard against this particular anartha?
Actually, we have no choice but to be the servant of devotees. So if we can cultivate this mood of being a servant of devotees, then all provoking situations can be tolerated. If I'm a servant, then all situations can be tolerated. And Srila Prabhupada also once said that if you simply realize whom you are living with, you will fall unconscious. You know, Prabhupada said, if you realize who that devotee next to you is in the spiritual world, you'll be shocked. So devotees externally may be struggling with different things. So we have to take shelter of a higher principle. A higher principle is, okay, serving Krishna. Externally, you might have many differences. So we can take shelter of a higher principle and see how. The biggest problem is we go for the tatastha lakshan, secondary characteristics. The primary characteristic of a devotee is that he has taken Krishneka Sharanam, he has taken shelter of Krishna. But the expectation of the tatastha lakshan, the secondary characteristics, that makes us agitated and that disturbs us. So we have to constantly be doing introspection and understanding that I am a servant. And there is no situation, no time, no place when we cannot be a servant. We cannot say that I cannot be a servant now. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that in every situation we can be servant. So with that, if we cultivate that consciousness constantly through our chanting and doing service and associating with devotees, then we can save ourselves from judging devotees and taking them cheaply. This is my humble opinion. We'll stop now. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.